Welcome to today's show. It's been a while since I posted, but today is a pretty big day for A's fans as the annual rendering updates were released for the proposed stadium in Las Vegas. And as with everything surrounding the last 5 years of stadium development, not much about this makes sense. Renderings were initially supposed to be released in December, but that was canceled. Then they said they were waiting on Bally's, but today's renderings have no mention of a future Bally's hotel. They said maybe it'll be when the A's play a spring training game in Vegas, which would be this weekend, but they jumped the gun on that by half a week. Where's the ceremony? Where's the pomp and circumstance? Where's the excitement-generating press event? What happened today generates nothing except an attempt to deflect from a constant narrative that there never were renderings. There are rumors circulating among business people not necessarily related to baseball and specific to Nevada that the renderings today actually paint a very specific picture. There is little patience among developers and investors for fake renderings, like the first round that was released last year. So if today's renderings are to be believed, John Fisher may be making a bigger play than just 9 acres. Bally's is hurting, and it mentioned in their earnings report that they'd be willing to part with developmental rights altogether on that site. John Fisher, though, needs Bally's to keep those rights or to control them himself. Otherwise, this whole deal is bust because who else is going to give up 9 acres of that property for him? So Bally's needs money and is willing to bail, and today's renderings are noticeably absent of an obstructed view in a hotel. If the A's are serious about these drawings, Fisher is either going after a bigger play, basically doing Howard Terminal Desert Edition, or they just pissed off every developer and investor in Nevada with another meaningless rendering. If he's planning a bigger play and wants development rights, it begs the question of how he's going to afford it and how much a huge business move like that is going to delay things and not open the park for a 2028 opening day. If anything later than that was a deal breaker in Oakland, what's changed? I tend to think that this is another front office misstep, but it's something to keep an eye on and likely complicates matters even more than they already are. And it's worth noting that GAAP earning reports come out in 2 days. And to all the folks who may think that this is a sign of some great forward momentum for the team's move, let me remind you that we saw renderings for Coliseum City and Fremont and Laney College and Cisco Field and Howard Terminal, and none of those resulted in a single shovel breaking ground. As I said to someone on Twitter, if there's a mile left to go on this project, today move the team forward a foot at most. So unless there are 5,279 more renderings still to come, and there very well could be with this group of people, don't read any more info into that than it is. It was an art project generated half-heartedly by AI. If this was the final project that they're really excited about, there'd have been a lot more fanfare, any fanfare. I mean, these renderings don't even depict a sellout game. One of my guests today very well may be the reason the A's had to officially announce these renderings on comment-free social media. We've got today Melissa Lockhart from The Athletic, who I think, as far as I could see, was the first one to report the renderings today.
Hey, how are you, Tony? Yeah, that was purely accidental, but it's amazing to me that this process has continually included some of the most buffoonery type movement when it comes to business that I think, I don't know, I've ever seen. I mean, if you were going to write a comedy about a business trying to do something, like if this was Veep, I think I had made that analogy. Like these would be the storylines, and even them, I think, would be a little bit overblown. So to kind of take you back to today, I'm in the middle of doing normal daily work stuff and saw an email popped up in my work email, and it was a press release from the big architect group announcing that they had won the competition along with whoever the other group is that's doing the design. To do the rendering. So, you know, I look at the press release, I see the pictures, and there was nothing in the release that said it was not supposed to be announced. And so I just went and, you know, posted some of the stuff on Twitter, assuming everybody else was going to be doing the exact same thing. And then 6 minutes later, so that's a significant amount of time when it comes to, timing for these things, receive another email that says that it's embargoed, but you can't embargo something when you've already set it out and then given 6 minutes. So clearly they had some sort of plan to announce it tomorrow, probably with the people that they in the local Vegas media that they had kind of wanted to control the narrative with. But somehow this architecture firm decided to jump the gun and completely messed up the messaging. So, you know, for a while, I think I was the only one that had it out there. Then, you know, Mick posted his, I'm guessing because the A's said, well, we're not going to keep you to your embargo anymore. And then they went ahead and issued their press release probably a half hour after that. So, I mean, again, it's just, you know, you're right. This should be a big deal, right? Like they should have had a meeting planned. They should have had a big announcement. And it was weird to get the email just as like an email coming into my inbox. But I also sort of thought, well, I'm not in the Las Vegas media. So perhaps they had sent out other things to those folks. And, you know, I just wasn't privy to it. But in retrospect, they just didn't have a plan at all. And that's the kind of, I mean, just an amazing thing to think with such something. It's a $1.5 billion project. And it was like somebody did it on the back of a napkin, you know?
Well, and it's like, even if there was going to be an embargo until tomorrow, and that could have been a lie too, they could have done that to cover their butt, to buy them 24 hours to cancel the whole thing altogether. But even if there was an embargo, tomorrow doesn't make any more sense than today did. You know, yeah. it would have made so much more sense at the first game in Vegas this weekend for Cavill and Fisher to have this whole big presentation for the press and everything, and really devote that time where the media was there to doing it then. So like to do it 3 days, 4 days or whatever it is early, it just didn't make sense today or tomorrow.
The only thing I can think is that they were going to have some media coverage of it tomorrow, and then they were going to do some pomp and circumstance thing on Friday leading into the, you know, ballpark weekend, and that this was going to somehow in their minds drum up some sort of momentum for, you know, some celebration going into this. But I mean, you know, I'll be honest. And again, I'm not in Las Vegas, so I don't, I haven't even heard much to talk about this big league weekend that's coming up, right? Like it doesn't seem to me that has received any more publicity than it has the, you know, many, many years that teams have been going to Vegas to do these weekends anyway. So already, I don't think they had been leveraging that in a way that you would have thought would make sense, you know. And so, but I could see that, you know, if you connect the dots, that maybe if you have it in the Las Vegas Review Journal on Wednesday morning and you have, you know, some of those outlets talking about it, and then on Friday you have an official kind of celebration thing, you know, that might have been the timeline that they were thinking of. This is just speculation, but you know, my sense is that weekend of the games being played was somehow tied to this. But yeah, I mean, you know, 11:46 a.m. on a Tuesday is not necessarily where you would
expect. On Super Tuesday. So that's like right, buried in the news cycle.
Right, exactly. So yeah, there. I mean, you know, people keep thinking, oh, there's some sort of grand plan. I just think it's a lot of people that don't know what they're doing. And it's, you know, remarkable that they've gotten this far where some, you know, government has committed $380 million to this project, but there has never at any point looked like there's been a plan that, you know, has any sort of certainty or logic to it. You know, even if you were going to say, okay, moving to Las Vegas makes sense, you know, for the A's, and putting aside all the reasons why that may or may not make sense, but even if you were to buy that, none of the steps leading into that have made sense. I mean, I was living in DC not too long before, you know, the Nationals moved from Montreal. And like, this is not how they rolled into the nation's capital, right? Like it's just such a ham-handed way to do it. And, you know, and the funny part was then later on, they send an email out to all people who, you know, are like on the A's mailing list who are, you know, mostly in Oakland, right? So if you bought tickets, you get these emails. And, you know, it was like, oh, you can get pricing information. I mean, who's going to put pricing information on something that's not going to open at the earliest 4 years from now? Like, you know, or what will money even be worth in 4 years, right? That's like an absurd thing to do. So, yeah, I don't know what's going on. It's just every day this whole thing gets more and more absurd.
It's like I told people before, like when they criticize things or they try to make excuses for some of the decisions that have been made. And I always say, don't ever attribute something as a bad idea when it could also just be attributed to people with no idea. Right. And that's really what it seems. It doesn't seem like there's a guide map at all with a single decision they've made since the whole parallel pass began, let alone the last year. But I mean, you could go all the way back, and nothing they've done has ever felt like there was anybody in control that really knew what the next step was, you know. And that's not, this is kind of a big deal to move a baseball team and to expand into a new market. I mean, the Nationals are the most recent one, and they already had somewhat of a fan base because Washington was a baseball town at one point. Las Vegas is a brand new market, so this really hasn't been done in a long time. And the whole, everything about it, the media markets and money and investors and naming rights, all that stuff is different from the last time that something like this was happening. And I don't get the impression that anybody is really clocking a plan to get it open in 2028 or 2030 or 2045. Otherwise, yeah, it would have been done in Oakland if they actually had a plan.
Yeah, no, it doesn't make a lot of sense. And, you know, getting back to the idea of it being a baseball town or not, I mean, I think the fact is, no matter what, Las Vegas is a different town than every other place in the country, right? Like, you can't approach a place that's based on entertainment and not be incredibly entertaining. And there's just not been nothing that's been entertaining at all about this entire thing. It's not slick. It doesn't, I mean, you know, you think about the way that this would be announced if you were imagining a movie about a Las Vegas baseball team. And you would imagine Showgirls, or you would imagine some sort of like billboard thing where it showed up on the Sphere and there was dancing. I mean, there's been nothing showmanship about it at all. And how is that going to compete with, you know, U2 at the Sphere or any of these other things? Like, this can't just be what they've done in Oakland. And, you know, they haven't done anything in Oakland in the 20 years to try to actually make it appealing to the people of Oakland. The only reason the team has had, you know, a fan base of interest is because they've been in spite of the ownership, right? So they're going to have to completely shed their persona in going to this new place where everybody is already better at entertaining people than they are, because that's all they do for a living. And they're not even showing, I mean, they seem to be getting worse at it rather than better, which is hard to believe. So, yeah, I don't really know what the plan is. You know, I don't know if at this point he's just going to keep doing things until Major League Baseball is like, listen, you're just going to have to fold this thing and here's some money to walk away. You know, who knows? I mean, it's so crazy. Maybe he's hoping someone in Las Vegas will buy it from him, and he thinks that there's a buyer that maybe would be interested in taking not only the team off his hands, but also then being able to get in on this strip of land, you know, in Las Vegas. You know, that could be a possibility, but why he wouldn't just do that in Oakland, where there's presumably, you know, buyers already, unless it's out of spite, you know, I don't know. It's very interesting.
That's possible. It's like, it makes more sense in Oakland, just as evaluation of the team. If you don't have the new stadium, which he doesn't have in either place. So if he's looking to bail before 2028, he's got about as much commitment in both cities right now. But you've got that bigger media market, a better TV deal. You're not sharing the market with the Dodgers, who are already established as basically the Las Vegas home team. Like, it would have made, if he is trying to just get somebody to come in and take it off his hands, again, he's doing it all wrong. He's not planning forward. And you mentioned, you know, reinventing it. The stadium, obviously, is getting a lot. Sydney Opera House was actually trending on Twitter today, which is not a good thing. When you do this big announcement and the trending on Twitter is not Las Vegas A's, but rather the nickname we're giving you out of a joke, that's not a good thing. And the team is desperately leaning into this like spherical armadillo concept. It was mentioned a couple times in their press release. John Fisher told Susan Slusser tonight that he loves it. And aside from being stupid, it's also dumb. And it just doesn't make sense why they're leaning into this so much. Like, Fisher tried to equate the armadillo to the A's in essence, like it's a spirit animal for the team. And it got me thinking. It was like, if I didn't know better, I would think they were like trying to set in stone like a rebranding of the mascot and all that kind of stuff, which is probably stupid because the armadillo is a dumb mascot. But what are your thoughts on all this kind of stuff? Like, are they leaning into it because they're trying to be cute and appear human to all of us, or is this just another like deflection because they don't know how to handle the bad press?
I don't know. I mean, first of all, I don't know how you come up with the rendering of the outside of that and not immediately see the Sydney Opera House. Like, right. When I first opened the email, like, that was the I was like, why is there a picture of Australia in the middle of this press release? So, you know, to suddenly be like, oh no, it's actually this like armor clad, I don't know, are they rodents? Like, I'm not really sure what an armadillo classifies under, but like, is it the rally possum? It got a cape. In the architect's, you know, description of it, they talked about it as being overlaid baseball pennants by baseball pennants, and that was what it was supposed to be based on. So I'm not sure where they pivoted from that like nonsensical description to this like armor clad desert rodent, but which isn't, I guess, apparently not even native to Nevada. I don't know why they didn't pick a wolf pack or something.
I was going to be snarky about that, but the elephant's not native to Oakland, so I thought I'll let that one slide. That's also dumb. If you're gonna rebrand it in some way, do something that actually ties it to the home. You know.
Yeah, no, I mean there has been a team. So there was a team in Amarillo called the Armadillos for quite a bit of time in the Independent United Baseball League, and you know that made a lot of sense. But that's not going to be a Major League Baseball team's name. No. You know, the elephant was just like a joke that they brought from Philadelphia. It's not even, you know, the name of the team either.
Which shows though that the A's have a long history of spite. And so maybe a lot of what's going on is out of spite. So another thing I was thinking about today, I was trying to draw comparisons because I made a comment on Hal the Hot Dog Guy's post about the giant 18,000 square foot monitor or jumbotron that in those renderings appears to be about 4 feet from the faces of the top row in right field. And so I was trying to think, is there a comparison from just a day-to-day operation expense that the A's can actually pull? Because between a huge glass wall and an 18,000 square foot scoreboard, the stadium lights, assuming they actually put them in since they're not in the renderings, and tens of thousands of people, this place in the middle of the desert, this place is going to be stupid hot, right? Even indoors, this is going to be that monitor is going to be putting out a ton of heat. You know, stick your face next to your TV and multiply it by 1,000. And that's what's coming off of this scoreboard. And I was just wondering if you can think of a stadium anywhere in any professional sport in this country where they could actually compare what it's just going to cost just to operate this.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we actually have talked about the fact that the HVAC has to be, you know, like somewhere, right? Like this thing does need to be cooled down. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't live in Las Vegas in the summer without air conditioning. So somewhere in this whole markup is going to have to be the largest air conditioning units you've probably ever seen. Go ahead. Because there are so many windows, right? And they're not accounted for there. There's no bullpens, which, you know, I mean, like, granted, the original Pac Bell Park, when they did those, I think they forgot about those too, which is how they ended up down the side of the foul territory there for a while. But I mean, you know, these are fairly big details. The scoreboard thing, it was unclear to me whether that was like a freestanding scoreboard if it was going to be like a projection onto a wall, like you were in like a science class in like fourth grade.
I was thinking about that. It looks like it's probably built into the ceiling. Because it arches with the pennant. But I was thinking the only way you could do it and not be putting out just incredible amounts of heat would be to do a projection, but then you'd have a beam of light going across the field, right in the batter's eye.
From a practical perspective, the batter's eye is non-existent. Mm-hmm. You have a roof that is going to be letting in natural light, which if anyone watched Dave Henderson try to play center field at the Metrodome in the 1980s, will tell you how well that works because, you know, nobody can see a baseball when it goes up there and there's light coming in and there's white on the ceiling. And so you're going to not be able to see the baseball going up. The hitters are not going to be able to see the baseball coming at them. There's going to be weird light. Like if they have one of those monsoon rainstorms, I can only imagine the whole thing is going to be shuddering and raining and weird. Not to mention the other thing that was in the architect press release that I don't know if it got that emphasized in the A's one, was that the outside is going to be a reflective metal that at night will reflect the lights of the Las Vegas like strip around it, which, I mean, maybe would look cool, but also I imagine would be an incredibly hazardous thing as you're driving by to be like blinded by this reflective light off this metal thing. Not to mention there's an airport literally right there, which they haven't really necessarily accounted for. And it's why you wonder why you don't see lights, because that's actually one of the determining factors of whether you can even build this, is you need to be able to build something that isn't going to have light going up that would prevent airplanes from coming into that airport safely. So that they haven't shown how that would work yet is a big part of this puzzle that doesn't have an answer yet. Not to mention the fact that, as everybody pointed out, there is no Bally's Hotel in that rendering either. So it's odd. I think I don't know if they were going for sort of a similar thing to, you know, Allegiant Stadium with the, you know, with football, and it was sort of this like hybrid roof thing, but that's so different with football and the way that you have stadiums set with a flat roof and then the kind of spherical way that stadiums go around. I'm guessing the 49ers are not super thrilled with how the lighting for that roof worked anyway, given the way that that punt went, you know, in the Super Bowl. But imagine that if you're trying to catch fly balls, you know, in the summer, and that was in the winter. So,
or the other thing somebody pointed out on Twitter not that long ago that I didn't notice the first time I looked at it is they've got at field level in the outfield, they've got windows. So people can be walking by outside. Well, who's going to be stealing a home run if instead of going into that green padded wall that every other ballpark's got, they're going into a plexiglass window? I mean, that's going to be
it's going to be a lot of people like they're slamming into the brick, you know, that you see in some of those other. It's the whole thing is weird. I think, you know, the field itself, like there's no. Yes, the things around it may if somehow this was to come together the way they described it, you know, like being able to bring in the skyline and all that might be interesting. But the field itself is incredibly boring, right? Like there's no interesting like dips with the fence. There's nothing that brings in sort of baseball as an element. I didn't see anything that would lend itself to being an art museum the way that they had talked about. Not that I ever thought that was a great idea for a baseball stadium, but like that was a feature they talked about. I don't know where that stage was that they were talking about that they were going to be able to like bring out and have people doing, you know, performances. It didn't really do any of the things that they had been hinting it was going to do, which makes you wonder, you know, what was all that? I don't see why you would like build people up to expectations that you weren't going to meet. So this just seemed very incongruous with everything that we had been hearing. And, I had actually half been expecting to see something that I thought, oh man, like that's going to be tough for Oakland to compete with, right? Like that this is Las Vegas and, you know, like John Fisher really does love doing great renderings. So like, you know, if they were actually going to do a serious one as opposed to the one that they threw together in 2 seconds in July, it was actually going to be something really spectacular. And like, it's obviously different than every stadium you've ever seen, but there's nothing about it that makes you kind of go, you know, wow, like this is really spectacular. You know, even the skyline version out the window, it's not like you're looking out at the skyline of like a, you know, city that's got like a really populous downtown, right? Like it's just those couple of buildings there. So it almost looks kind of sparse, you know, it doesn't have that sort of built-in city feel to it that you have. And you kind of compare it to, I mean, the renderings we just saw for the, you know, Chicago White Sox ballpark that won't happen either. Like, I mean, like that was a spectacular rendering, even if it's never going to happen, you know? And I don't know how they don't come up with something at least on par with that.
It doesn't make sense. And you talked about like the shifting of things that were promised. One of the big things is the retractable roof, which we all knew wasn't going to happen. Every A's fan was saying that when they were still trying to litigate SB1. But today, John Fisher spoke through Mick Akers that said that they aren't ever opened in other stadiums, so they're not going to bother doing it here, which is a lie. It's all about price and the footprint of the building. They couldn't fit it on 9 acres. They couldn't get it in under $2 billion, so they scrapped it. But to say they never use them in other stadiums, and then in another interview that same day, talk about how the site is intended to be a year-round multi-purpose facility. wouldn't a retractable roof make a lot of sense? Wouldn't that be very appealing to say, if I'm Bruce Springsteen and I'm doing a concert there in a cooler off, you know, off season month, to be able to pop open that roof? Like, you, on one hand, he's saying, we're not doing this because it's a baseball stadium and baseball stadiums don't do that. And then on the other hand, saying, this isn't just your grandma's baseball stadium. This is going to be the stadium of the future. That's going to be, it's going to host, it has to host events all year long, or it doesn't make its money back. If I was a Las Vegas taxpayer, politician, anything, I'd be really worried of some of the promises that are broken this early in the process. And like, I get that blueprints or that renderings are not blueprints. You know, there's going to be some stuff that's weird. Not every square inch needs to be accounted for, not every detail, but they need to be kind of close, you know? And so like, to come out with these renderings and to have already balked on really the biggest feature that, for the record, what's his name? Astero, what's the guy's name?
Aguero.
The guy,
Jeremy Aguero.
Yes. Yeah. He said semi-retractable or retractable roof 300 times in those hearings. So to already be backing out of that, if I was Las Vegas, I'd be very concerned right now about everything that they're seeing.
It's also not true. I mean, on the one hand, like, you know, the roof in Seattle isn't open all the time and the roof in Houston isn't open all the time, but it is open sometimes. And when it is open, it's a huge deal. And everyone's like, oh, the roof's open. And it's like a celebration and everyone comes out because they're having a normal, nice weather day. I mean, the fact that you're moving from somewhere where you would always have it open because it's always a nice weather day to a place where you say you can't ever have it open because it's not nice for a whole summer is a comment on the move by itself. Like, I think that goes without saying. It's sort of ridiculous that you would move an outdoor sport to a place you can't play outdoors. But that aside, I mean, it's a weird thing to say. It's also a weird thing to be like, we're going to have concerts and stuff here. And it's not like palatable. I mean, again, they're moving into a place where there are 65,000 other options for every other kind of concert. Like, Bruce Springsteen doesn't have to play at a baseball stadium in Las Vegas the way he would have to play in most other cities.
Right.
You know, not to mention there's like a football stadium that has 25,000 more seats literally right down the street that is going to be available for this sort of stuff. You know, I already think that that's a pipe dream to begin with. Like, they're going to have a very tough time nailing down the kind of events that they need in order to be able to compete with the other entertainment stuff that's there. But, you know, the fact, again, that you're dealing with a situation where you've decided that I need to play indoors and play on or probably artificial turf, right? Like, mm-hmm. I don't think they're going to, I mean, I guess they have grass at Allegiant, but like, the chances that they would pay for that the way that Mark Davis did.
Yeah, that system they've got is crazy. I could not see John Fisher spilling for that.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, you're going to go from a place that has the best playing surface in baseball, even if you want to complain about the stadium, there's no grass that's nicer than that, to, and, you know, some of the best weather in all of baseball, to an enclosed place that you're going to play on turf. I think that's a tough sell to begin with. And then when you add in everything else that looks ridiculous about it, it's going to be tough. And, you know, and I think there are so many other things that go into, you know, the fact that even if it's enclosed, they're not solving for the fact that, you know, the air is thinner there, the ball's going to fly out. It's not going to play like a normal place to play. So you've taken all the charming things out of Coors Field and you're putting it into an enclosed box, you know, in a heat zone. I don't know. The whole thing just doesn't seem, if they put the rendering out for Cisco Field, right, and then put a roof over it, it would look better than whatever this is.
What do you think of these rumors that are coming from business people, not baseball people, that Fisher's making the bigger play, that he's the reason the things were delayed, the reason that Bally's isn't in these new renderings is that he's making a play for development rights? Do you think that's even possible? Like, I know you talk to more of the baseball people. You might have a better insight into where he stands, maybe financially or the leverage against the team and things like that. Do you think that's even a possibility in his world?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't have much insight into what his operating income is right now, you know, beyond the fact that he isn't willing to spend any of it on the current team, right? Like, you know, this is a man that if he has a lot of money, he hasn't used it. So, maybe he is, you know, like, but he's going to have to get that money out of the Coliseum, half of it. And, you know, we'll see what, you know, the Alameda County and you know, the city end up with those negotiations. But he's got a lot of money tied up into the Coliseum site that's not getting developed at the moment because, you know, ironically, he's holding it up. And so the cash you would need to do that, unless he's about to divest, you know, huge amounts of stock with the Gap, you know, it seems like it might be hard to pull that together. It didn't sound like to me from what I've heard that financing has been easy for him to get. So, you know, unless he's got a silent backer, or again, he's sitting on a pile of cash that he's just out of sight, not spent for the last, you know, 25 years. Mm-hmm. I don't see where that money would come from. I don't know why you would have to go begging for $380 million in like, to the Las Vegas legislature, if you had enough money to go spend $3 billion on, you know, taking over that entire parcel of land and building everything that's going to be on there by yourself.
Yeah. And like he said to Slusser today that, $500 million, was it five or three? I think it was $500 million, 300 something, a huge chunk. He's only taken 200 in debt. And then a huge chunk is going to come into equity. You know, he's selling part of his shares of the team to make up that money. But even that, it doesn't seem like he's going to be able to scrape enough to also get the land in one of the most valuable strips of land on the planet to get the development rights for that without selling a huge stake of his team. And if you're going to sell a huge stake of the team, just sell it now and get out and you know, and just be done with this.
I don't know who would buy that significant amount of a team to work with John Fisher as the owner, right? Like, I mean, you know, it's one thing for someone to buy out Mark Cuban with the Mavericks because you know that Mark Cuban's going to stay involved and do all the Mark Cuban things that have made that franchise incredibly valuable, right? Like he is an asset on his own. John Fisher is a liability with the A's, right? Like if you're going to put a $200 million investment into an organization, you don't want the person making the decisions because he still has the majority share to be this person who's run the value of the organization into the ground. So, I mean, you know, who knows? There's only 30 franchises and people will buy into things, you know, regardless, but it seems like a weird thing to buy into when, yeah, if you have $200 million to spend on a team, why wouldn't you insist on buying out the whole thing and not having to deal with this person who has made the asset less valuable than it was, you know, other if he wasn't there.
And you all you have to do is look at the earthquakes to see that it's not just, it's not an Oakland problem and it's not a baseball problem. It is specifically a John Fisher problem, you know, and somebody posted yesterday, you know, they got that state of the art stadium and they've placed 13th or lower every year since.
Yeah. No, it's, and they haven't brought in the flashy signings and they haven't, and they're already complaining with that state-of-the-art stadium that it's not good enough and they want a new one, you know, like, so what does that mean? Does that mean that Las Vegas is going to build this like thing? And then in 13 years, he's going to say, you know, we don't want a closed roof. Let's build something else somewhere else. There's no track record here of success, you know, and you want some track record of success. You know, I think it was easy for people to buy into Peter McGowan being the one to, you know, bring in all those different people to keep the Giants in San Francisco and build this pipe, what at the time was an incredible pipe dream of a stadium project in San Francisco, because Peter McGowan had already had a track record of success and, you know, leading Safeway into being this very valuable company. There isn't that track record here. And so I just don't know. And, you know, and again, I don't know, the rich people do funny things with their money and I'll never be one of them. So I'm not going to like pretend to understand that mindset, but like, you know, ultimately it just doesn't seem like he's a Peter McGowan type Pied Piper person who could bring together the kind of people that you need to do this sort of thing. And that's why it hasn't worked so far in the Bay Area. And that's why it seems like it's not getting off the ground in Las Vegas either.
Well, I know that personally, I still put this at like 60-40 that they actually move. I just genuinely don't think that there's been as much legwork as they want us to think there is beyond SB1 and two different sets of renderings, neither of which are really realistic. I don't think they haven't swayed me to be like, oh, it's 95% there. You know, I think it's a long way to go. People are freaking out over the renderings like it's a bigger deal than it is. I would be looking at this GAAP earnings report that comes out, I think they said on the 7th, so 2 days. That might shine some light on Fisher's financial status at the moment and whether he can pull off a bigger play. But, you know, I keep getting I keep getting DMs from Rebecca Kaplan, the vice mayor of Oakland. And she keeps sending me the letter that Dave Cavill wrote to her for acquiring the Oakland Coliseum land, which they still have half of. And like you said, they're blocking other development there, trying to negotiate a lease extension that they have no leverage on. But she sends me this letter because Cavill in that letter says, after the Laney debacle, which was his fault, and you can't spin that any other way, after he screwed up on Laney, they thought they needed to have the Coliseum as a plan B. So that if Howard Terminal fell apart, they had to ensure that they had the Coliseum that they could just build on and be done. And every time something comes out about this team in the last few months, especially since the lease extension negotiations have come in the last couple of weeks, somebody from Alameda County, from the city of Oakland, will tweet out that this could all be done.
Right.
And it could be done faster and cheaper, and all the benefits of being in Oakland could be done way before 2028. So I invited her to come on tonight, but she did not. But I just wanted to put that out there, that Cavill himself ensured the team against Howard Terminal's failure at the Oakland Coliseum site. You know, Vegas was not a thing. And so for that to be out of the question entirely, I think is ridiculous. But I also think that is still, whether they acknowledge it or not, that's ultimately their plan B. So if this thing happens with the teachers or education for whatever the organ, I had them on this podcast and I've forgotten, but the educators in Las Vegas, if that thing goes through and the money somehow gets pulled back, or Fisher can't find the financing, I still think they are ready to go at the Coliseum site. Howard Terminal's dead. I don't think that's ever going to happen, but they could get it done at the current site so much faster, quicker, cheaper, all that stuff. And so as long as that's still a possibility in reality, I don't really think that they're as close in Vegas as a lot of fans are freaking out about. So they just got to stay patient and just keep getting angry at John Fisher and maybe, wait for them to do something else dumb.
I mean, it's, you know, it's possible. You know, as someone who's lived in the East Bay for a long time, you know, I always thought the Coliseum location was incredible because it's not only, you know, in Oakland, but it's also so easily accessible from the rest of the East Bay. It's probably the easiest place to get to in the East Bay, anywhere, right? And it's an area that is just begging to have positive development, because the people who, you know, live there and who've worked there or whatever, they deserve good things. And like, you know, so anyone who could come in there and bring grocery stores to the area, bring housing to the area, bring all the things that should be there, you know, would be a public hero. And I feel like, though, to have done this leading up to then doing that, like, they destroy any possible goodwill they could have. I don't know if you can go. I mean, maybe they'll just say, "Oh, water under the bridge. We'll make it work with him." But like, how do you go back from this? I guess that's the thing. Like, and, you know, and again, like, I'm a lifelong resident. You know, I only spent like 10 years out of my life not in this area. You know, I followed this team since I was two. Like, you know, I really want this to work out, but like, I don't see how it works out with John Fisher still involved. I think the way that he has destroyed the credibility of what was an incredibly positive and wonderful organization for so many years, the way he's turned everything within the organization to dust, you know, good things that were set up internally that have just sort of been allowed to waste away. You know, I think it's hard to come back from that. And I don't know that he has it in him, because you're going to have to come back and make yourself a partner with the community. And how do you make yourself a partner with the community after you've done this to the community? You know, like, if he didn't want the Coliseum, he could have left it for the Raiders and the Raiders would have stayed, you know? So he's already taken that away. He's, you know, taken away the possibility of a team that could have been good enough to be there, you know, a World Series contender for many, many years, essentially out of spite. And he's made him a laughingstock for 2 years in the headlines of every newspaper. If the plan was always to just go back to the Coliseum, they've seemed like they've like burned the bridge and then they're going to hope to swim across the canal. And I don't see how you do that, but I mean, you know, I hope so. Like that'd be great. But I think if they stay in Oakland, it just has to probably be with a different ownership at this
point. I think it's gotta be with a different ownership to go to Vegas too. I don't think he can close this deal either.
Yeah, no, I think you're probably right. You know,
it's just, he's not a good owner. He's had 20 years now to try to figure something out, and he's never really come close. He's come closest with Howard Terminal, but you know, it's just been a laughingstock for 20 years in the front office. And then ever since Dave Cavill has come around, it's kind of exposed that to the, you know, cause like Lou Wolf, love him or hate him, and most people hated him, but the guy was a smart businessman, and you know, he made a lot of missteps and he didn't get it done at Cisco or Fremont or San Jose or Fremont or any of those places. But he never, you know, went on. He wouldn't have gone on social media and fought with a Siegel parody account. He wouldn't have gone and done the campy, you know, trade in your Giants hats or charge the Giants fans more money to park, all that kind of gimmicky stuff. You know, he was a businessman. And if you're going to have somebody like John Fisher, who's not really interested in looking over the business aspect of it, you need somebody at the top of the food chain that's actually going to take care of the business. And I did not like Lou Wolf for a lot of reasons, but if he would have gotten this far as they got with Howard Terminal, I think they would have closed the deal. We wouldn't even be talking about this. They'd be 3 or 4 years into their new park. You know,
yeah.
It's just Dave Cavill and John Fisher have just exposed how inept that whole front office has become. And it's, you're asking the least qualified group of people to do the most difficult task that a baseball team has done in 50 years. And it's just not going to work out with those guys in charge. And I invited Dave on the podcast today too. And he obviously has not showed up either. Like, he doesn't talk to me anymore.
Yeah. I'm probably not on his return email list either. No, I mean, you know, I think like, and again, not to keep going back to the whole Giants situation, but you know, this was a very similar situation in 1991, right? Mm-hmm. Like for all of us that were living here, you know, the two organizations were essentially reversed. And, you know, Larry Bear is the Lou Wolf that actually got things done. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they haven't ever had a Larry Bear either. And, you know, that's been, even in the Walter Haas days, they never really had somebody who could do the business at the sophistication that you needed to if you were going to really make this a money-making thing. And that, you know, I don't know that that was necessarily the Haas family, like, ethos. You know, I think they were there to just make it entertaining and fun and to the point that they could still keep funding it. But, like, you know, if they wanted to turn this thing into a cash cow, they've just never had the people to turn it into the cash cow. They've had a lot of really good people on the baseball side. You know, I mean, that's the remarkable thing. You've mm-hmm. got two groups of people that have worked essentially in the same office building for a really long time. And you've got pretty competent people on one side of it. And you haven't had the same competency on this sort of revolving door that's been on the other side. And I think that's been one of the most incongruous aspects of covering this team for all these years is that, you know, you talk to people that are so smart, but they're just completely separate from the business in the sense of like, you know, like the business just like they're handed an edict of this is going to be done cheaply and they accept it and they go on and they make the best of it. Mm-hmm. And so, but if you had any of the same smarts on the business side, you know, this thing would have been done.
That's what I've been saying is Billy Beane made John Fisher, didn't look smart, didn't look like a genius, but he looked like a passable owner. And then Dave Cavill came and kind of canceled that out. So Fisher got by a long time because Billy Beane and his team were so good at what they were doing. But it's like we've always said, if you would have given Billy Beane $100 million instead of $40 million, just imagine what he could have done, you know? So.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think it's also worth noting too, that like, you know, these guys have had job security, like no other, mm-hmm. front office in the history of baseball essentially has. So, you know, it's not that they haven't benefited some from this, Billy included, right? But I think at the same time, you know, and actually going back to Lou Wolf, the one interesting thing is I'd seen a conversation with him over the summer. He'd had that like a business talk type thing. And the thing he talked about was when they took over, the first thing that he did was he was like, we need to ensure that Billy Beane, because he's our most marketable asset, remains with the organization. And they got him in with an ownership stake. And so, you know, they did recognize at that time that that was something that they could build around. And I maybe it's just this thing took too long. And like at that point, you know, Billy had basically essentially, retired. And so it wasn't like he was that marketable asset anymore. And so, but they did seemingly have some plan for how they were going to market this team at that point. And then, you know, but the ensuing years just didn't ever pick up from there.
Well, Melissa, I've taken up a lot of your time. You're welcome to stay because our friend Carl, who's known as A's Fan by Design, has a presentation on the whole history of ballpark renderings, all the way back to 1960. He sent me like an hour before we started, I got a treasure trove of easily 100 renderings going back to the 60s. So he's going to join us now. If you can't stay, thank you. But if you can, you're more than welcome to. Hello, Carl.
Hey, Tony. Hey, Melissa. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Good to see you at Fans Fest. That was awesome.
Yes, it was great.
Yeah. By the way, I was able to pick my background for this, and I figured what better than the proposed, stadium / hotel with the pool. Where am I pointing? Here, the pool on top. This is actually the ballpark village plan back in 2005 that Lou Wolf actually presented to the city of Oakland. So I thought this would be a kind of a fun throwback.
I'd actually forgotten also, when you sent all those photos, I'd actually forgotten about the ballpark village. Cause I remember like Coliseum City, cause they've all got like these, Bluth
cute
family
little nicknames.
Development names. but I'd forgotten about this one.
Yeah, no, it was, we've seen a lot and I've been following along. I'm born and raised in the East Bay. I've been A's fan my whole life. And every so often you get to see fresh new renderings and you get excited about it. And especially when John Fisher's involved, it just doesn't work out. So I don't know if today is going to be any different, but so yeah, let's take a look.
I wasn't able to include all the renderings you sent, but I've got I've got all the time periods are represented. So we start here.
Yeah. So this is the, I focus more on the visuals than all the historical and political, commentary that goes along with it. But this was the original proposal for the Coliseum. It was this was also known as Peralta Park, kind of in the same spot where the Peralta School's Laney College site was more or less located. Would have been great. I mean, imagine being able to walk around the lake and then walk to an A's game. It's not too far off from what the actual Coliseum looked like when it was first built in, what was it, 1965, I think, or maybe even earlier than that. And then I think the Raiders came around the mid-60s and the A's came in 68, of course. But yeah, also renderings were just, I can't even imagine how they made renderings back then. There was no AutoCAD. There was no, 3D software back then. But yeah, this one's pretty simple. And then they decided to move it a little bit down the road. This one's super cool. I think this one might be my favorite that didn't happen. I know a little bit about this one. This was the 2002 revitalization plan. In 2001, HOK, which I think is an architecture firm, did an executive summary study of the whole city of Oakland. And they did a bunch of plans, including like a ninth to Oak plan, a Coliseum plan, just doing it in the parking lot, a plan in Fremont, which would later be talked about as Cisco Field, a Howard Terminal plan, a Laney College plan, a Pleasanton plan, and an Uptown Oakland plan, which is what you see here. So this would be located, as you can see, right next, the entrance would be right next to where the Fox Theater is now. And the mayor at the time, Jerry Brown, he had plans to put up housing in that location. And I think Robert Bob was the city planner at the time. And he was talking with the A's about potentially putting in a stadium at this location. And there's actually a great article called the Fremont Athletics, How the Deal Went Down and Why It Was Unavoidable or something, that I'll put on Twitter later tonight. I'm sorry, X, later tonight. And yeah, it would have been great. It would have been an awesome location, like kind of like Wrigleyville or or Fenway Park with, like, you know, Yawkey Way, where it's just completely surrounded by downtown. And this one was a shame. Robert Bob was told by Jerry Brown not to talk to the A's anymore. Jerry Brown put a gag order on the whole thing. There's now a massive housing development there, which is fantastic for people who live there. It's a great location, but that meant that this location or this proposal ultimately did not pan out. Robert Bob, by the way, just to fast forward to what he did, he went to Washington, D.C., became a city planner in Washington, D.C., and actually helped the Nationals get their stadium when the Expos moved from Montreal to Washington, D.C. and became the Washington Nationals. So Robert Bob did get a stadium done. It just wasn't in Oakland. All right, this one is the 2005 Ballpark Village. Yeah, so this was, hard to believe, this was 19 years ago. This was just, you can actually see in the top picture here, the existing Coliseum and this with Mount Davis, so you can kind of timestamps it a bit. Just north of 66th is where this whole village was going to be built, and there was going to be a stadium that had a hotel with a pool and kind of a cool kind of Wrigley Field style triangular bleachers section. With all sorts of other shops and retail and hotel and all sorts of things. The problem with this was they forgot to check with all of the current tenants to see if they would be willing to move out of that location. And there's all sorts of businesses there. It's not just empty, like Howard Terminal is basically a bunch of kind of a big parking lot. This has a bunch of businesses that are still there. And that's why this one didn't work out as well. But yeah, this was the Ballpark Village 2005 that Lou Wolf presented to the city of Oakland.
I personally think this would have been a cool development.
Oh, sure.
They should have revisited this, you know, started kind of talking to those tenants and revisited this when they were also looking into Peralta and Howard Terminal.
Yeah, it's kind of, I mean, it's like with, I mean, it's like when people say, oh, well, you know, Joe Lacob should just buy the A's. You can't buy something that's not for sale.
Yeah.
You can't move in somewhere if there's already someone living there. So. But you're right. It would have been a great location. Pretty cool ballpark too. Yeah, this was, I actually in 06 when Cisco Field was announced, and I remember Oakland A's fans were completely up in arms about them moving to Fremont. It was just outrageous that they would be leaving Oakland. I work in Fremont now every day, and it's not that long of a drive. I mean, people would have gone. It would have been great. They put up this little mini billboard. I drove down and I actually took a picture of it myself with, I'm sure, a terrible camera on a very old phone. But yeah, this was a, I'm not sure if you have any other images of this one, but this was the one where it seemed like it was really going to happen and they were really going to move. So this is actually, we're kind of now switching gears a bit. This is also Cisco Field, but this was the San Jose version, and slightly different design, different layout than the Fremont rendition. And the reason why this one didn't work is because it was located in San Jose. Giants have territorial rights over San Jose that were given to them by the A's to help the Giants stay in the Bay Area and not move to St. Petersburg. I believe that's the, yeah. So anyway, that's, and there was a whole lawsuit, didn't work out. So San Jose was also off the table. Okay, so here's where it starts to get a little interesting. The Raiders at this point, I believe, were also looking for a new facility. The era of and there's a few very different style renderings of Coliseum City. There were some that were drawings. There were some that were 3D. There were some that were kind of more sketchy than others. It was the artists that were employed to make these came up with a lot of different ideas. But I think this was the time when both the Raiders and the A's were looking into a new facility. I think the Warriors were the only ones that were pretty much okay with what they had, because Oracle Arena had been remodeled in, I think, the mid 90s, around 90, 95 ish. And so the Warriors were okay, but and so that's why you can see that Oracle Arena is actually kind of kind of the same, but building a new baseball only and football only stadium in that, you know, in the existing site was proposed a number of times. And I don't exactly remember what the reason was why it didn't end up working out. Maybe it was because the Raiders were looking for public funding to help pay for their stadium, and they had already used a chunk of public funding to essentially pay for the renovations that were done, Mount Davis and the luxury boxes and all that. And I think the city of Oakland just said, no, we've already gone down this path. We're not going to do it. Of course, we all know shortly thereafter, Las Vegas said, well, we're going to do this hotel tax that's going to give you, I think it was $750 million in public funding to help pay for your Allegiant Stadium, or what is now Allegiant Stadium. So obviously, if any of us were the owner of the Raiders and we were deciding between zero public funding or $750 million, obviously we go that Vegas route, which is a big reason why when people say, oh, you know, the A's are going to Vegas just like the Raiders did. No, those are apples and oranges, entirely different scenarios, entirely different from the Warriors going to San Francisco. So people thinking, oh, baseball, you know, sports teams are just leaving Oakland. They're all very unique situations. Obviously the A's situation makes the least amount of sense of the three. So
this would be a cool one to revisit now too, because instead of the football stadium, you build a soccer stadium and it's a much smaller footprint. But it's still all land that they could easily develop now, you know. I mean, there are hurdles with this land, obviously, but there are hurdles that they also had, like the sea level thing. They had that in 1965, too, and they managed to figure that out. So this would have been a good one to revisit.
I guess the reason why they put the playing field below sea level is just to save money on the surrounding physical building infrastructure around it, and just think, well, if we dig a hole, that'll be cheaper than building more up. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's what it is, but yeah, that's caused a number of problems over the years. Okay, this was a weird one. This one kind of, I don't exactly remember when it was formally proposed, if at all. It just sort of showed up as a rendering at some point. I don't know if it was just like, so I don't really have a lot of information on this particular rendering, but it does, I mean, it basically looks like the later Howard Terminal renderings without all the surrounding mixed use mixed commercial and movie theaters and condos and commercial buildings and all that stuff. This is just a ballpark. We've all heard a number of times, if the A's were genuinely interested in building just a ballpark in Oakland, like they are proposing to do in Vegas, it would be, you know, underway, if not, you know, halfway done by now, because it's a heck of a lot cheaper than the, what, $12 billion proposed Howard Terminal, whatever. So
if I remember correctly, I think this one actually came from the mayor's office and Don Noss, who was the CEO of Clorox at the time and had started a whole movement to keep the team in Oakland and keep sports in Oakland. And so I think it was their movement to try to get something built there. The team at the time wasn't particularly interested, and then ironically ended up sort of usurping the project, but then adding on all this other stuff. I'm pretty sure that that's what it was, like Gene Kwan and Don that kind of brought this one out there. But yeah, I mean, you could build this one pretty quickly, I think, especially everything that's, you know, been promised from a development perspective, with public money surrounding that area.
I was just going to say that the amount of public funding.
I'm sorry, I'm talking over you. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, especially with the amount of public funding that has been made available in Oakland for the Howard Terminal plan, that would more than cover what was needed here. So.
Well, I remember talking to Cavill early on, and there were three sites he was talking about, and Howard Terminal was the last site they wanted to do. Like he deemed that as a, if we can't get it done at Laney and we can't get it done at the current site, we'll settle for Howard Terminal. And then somewhere along the way that became, we'll settle there became, no, that's always been the only one we've ever wanted. You know, it's like, I didn't get the girl that I wanted to go to prom, but the one I did get to go is the one I always wanted to go to prom with. You know, it was like he shifted somewhere, but it was probably within the first year that he was president here when they were looking. And I brought it up because of these renderings. and he was kind of against it at that time. So it's weird that it had become, you know, the most desirable site in the whole city at one point.
Yeah, and Melissa, you were right. That was the I found an article on athleticsnation.com, December 16th, 2013. And yeah, you're right. It was Gene Kwan and Don Knaus.
I think it's Knaus.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So then this one, these are starting to look familiar. This is the diamond version of Howard Terminal. And yeah, I mean, I remember it was pretty shocking to kind of see this version with the hobbit holes and the unique buildings behind it and the party barge that everybody missed as soon as they made the next version of renderings, that little party barge that's kind of out in the water. Yeah, that one disappeared. I think that just the promise of a new ballpark is always exciting. And it started to seem like things were, you know, there were a lot of questions. They would have to do a lot of work. And a lot of people who were against Howard Terminal were basically saying, why would you want them to go to Howard Terminal? It's not going to work there. They should just stay on the Coliseum site. And I made a variation of a Moneyball GIF which said, you know, there's Howard Terminal, and then there's the Coliseum site, and then there's 50 feet of crap, and then there's relocation. I think we were all just kind of going along with it because we were told Howard Terminal or bust, and right. We were like, all right, well, those are the options, then I guess we'll root for Howard Terminal. But I still would be perfectly happy if they just fixed up the existing site or built it in the parking lot. Mm-hmm. It doesn't need to be fancy. We're not Oakland A's fans are not bougie. We are perfectly happy with a hot dog and a beer and a baseball game. So anyway.
And for anybody from Vegas, because every time I criticize anything from Las Vegas on Twitter, you get 15 trolls that come in and go, if they would have done this in Oakland, you would have said it was brilliant. That's not true. Because when I saw this in 2018, when I saw this rendering, I thought this one was just as stupid as the one that we saw today. Right? I did not like this. I would have been fine with the stadium. And obviously, I wanted them to stay, but I did not like this rendering at all. I like future Howard Terminal renderings. But this one, a lot of us made fun of this one for being kind of dumb with the holes and the weird rooftop garden and that stupid hotel building. I'm pointing at the screen like you guys can see.
Yeah.
That weird hotel building on the north side there. Like, I thought this was kind of a dumb rendering too, but still would have been better than Vegas. And then we have that same year.
Still no batter's eye in that one too, by the way. That is the one thing. They've never had a good batter's eye. So
developers hate renderings with batter's eyes.
It's hard. I mean, they're going to just, this team is going to hit 183 for the rest of its existence. You know?
Not according to the scoreboard. It looks like all the A's are batting over 300.
Yeah.
So this is the proposed plan for what would happen to the existing Coliseum site. I can't imagine the amount of work that would go into tearing up a massive parking lot and putting in grass and hills and, cleaning up that river. We've all seen that river. Holy cow, it's never been that blue in the history that I've known it. But this would be interesting. And turning the existing Coliseum into essentially a park. I mean, I don't really know. I don't know. This was just kind of, I think this was maybe part of the deal when Fisher and Cavill bought half the Coliseum site, they said they were doing it to keep the A's in Oakland as a backup plan. And then of course, when, you know, they announced their plans to move to Vegas, people were asking, well, then what the heck are you doing with the Coliseum site? And they're like, oh, well, we were just investing in Oakland because we believe in Oakland. It's like, come on. Oakland A's fans keep receipts. I mean, you can just check Twitter. It is riddled with, oh, well, this didn't age well, or you said this, and now you're saying that. And anyway.
This is one of those things that never would have happened. No.
Just what we need in a drought area, too, is a hole.
Right. Like, this is one of those things that...
Those are succulents, Terminal, Melissa. Those are all succulents.
Howard Terminal opened in April.
It's desert landscaping.
If Howard Terminal had opened in April, they would have sold off all this in May, and you never would have seen anything like that.
Totally.
Yeah.
I'm actually, it is funny. Speaking of the Coliseum site and extensions there, It's been a little quiet since the last couple, or since the last meeting with respect to the extension. We've heard a couple, oh, well, the A's are willing to do this and they're willing to do that. But I'm still curious where that's gonna go, because that is definitely unfinished business.
I'm sure tonight's election had something to do with it getting kind of quiet, you know.
Okay, that's probably, yeah. That's one of the reasons why I wore my binding vote season, which was, you know, a throwback to when every time there was a vote that had to happen for Howard Terminal and it went the A's way, Casey Prack kept calling it binding vote season. So, all right. So this is when the ballpark started to look a little more normal. At least it was round and not diamond. But yeah, the party barge is gone. Buildings in the background are not so weird looking. And it was a little more acceptable. I mean, I do like the idea of having a park that's grass on top of the stadium somehow. A lot of question marks. I don't really get how the outfield wall and how it dips down to almost grass level. So there's still a lot of questions, but whatever. Renderings are not always realistic, as we've seen many times, even in real life. I mean, you've seen, Globe Life Park. Is Park the new one or is Field the new one? Is it? I think it's the...
They are so interchangeably boring that I don't
think... I know, right? I think the new one is Field. Anyway, whatever the new one is. Yeah. It looks like a combination of like a Cybertruck / barbecue grill. And the renderings definitely looked a lot better. So you're supposed to take these with a grain of salt.
It looks like the largest Costco warehouse. That
yeah, totally. Yeah. I don't know. Oh yeah, the gondola. Who didn't want to ride down, what is this, 12th Street? Is it 12th Street? No, those are the other way. This is Broadway? I think it's Broadway or something. Oh, no, Washington Street. It literally says right there, Washington Street Tower. So this is, you could just take Washington Street in a gondola all the way down to Embarcadero, get off and walk to the ballpark. There's a really cool video actually that they made, another pie in the sky, never gonna happen kind of thing. But I mean, sure, it generated some excitement.
And it's worth noting that we're at this point in the A's rendering history, we're now getting, instead of this is the rendering for 2018, it's this is the rendering for February 2018, because now it's getting to be commonplace. Here we are, February 2021, and that's not going to be the only rendering in 2021 even for Howard Terminal.
The gondola has now moved to Dodger Stadium.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think just like the monorail, it's going to show up everywhere, you know, like the Springfield monorail. So
totally. Mono means one, rail means rail. So this is so February 2021. This is when they really were kind of finalizing their plans. And you talk about how there are a lot of renderings for Howard Terminal. I mean, if you're comparing just for a second Howard Terminal to the Tropicana site, the volume of time and renderings and meetings and design reviews and so many layers of renderings. This is the transparent 3D model view of Howard Terminal. This is the one that explains why the pathway resembles the Oakland tree. This is the one that shows the eating area, the shopping area, the exterior, the interior, all these different areas were thoroughly considered. And everything that's coming out of Vegas is just so haphazard and totally AI and unrealistic. And I mean, it's Melissa, you rattled off actually a really solid list of all the problems with the renderings that came out today. And I mean, obviously the biggest ones that it's way bigger than 9 acres, not even close. There's no hotel casino. And on January 24th, Mick Akers posted, John Fisher quoted as saying, oh, well, the renderings were delayed because the A's are working with Bally's and GLPI to include the resort in the renderings. That's why they're taking so long. So the fact that they came out today with zero hotel just, you know, once again shows the credibility that John Fisher does not have. And it's nothing shocks me at this point, because 100% has been such a train wreck the whole time. Yeah, and as far as like we'll get to Vegas when we get to Vegas, but it's pretty funny looking at the different versions here. Did you go? I think you went back in time somehow.
No, went from February to September.
February. Oh, so they did move it over. Interesting.
A little bit. Yeah. All right. That's the nice thing about, like you were saying, though, it's like all these Howard Terminal ones, all of them to this point, in fact, except for the 1960 one, look like they are produced in architecture software, right? That they don't look like you put a prompt into an image generator and nothing. There are Oakland landmarks in these renderings. You know, there's nothing like generic, like that generic New York skyline over there is the New York Hotel. You know, and everything else is like, these are legit renderings. They're not just concept art. That's the difference, is like, now they're just putting out concept art, you know, like you're making to go back to The Simpsons, like he's designing that car. And then when you put it on the production line, it's a garbage car. Right. But that's the difference between concept art and a rendering. And that's technically, I don't think we've ever seen a rendering for Las Vegas, now that I'm saying that out loud. Well, especially when you compare it to what you've seen from Howard Terminal.
I agree with you entirely. I mean,
that's why I have you on the podcast, Carl.
to agree with you.
Yeah.
I mean, for starters, all the people in the Oakland renderings have two hands and a hat that looks like a hat. And it's not like a bill coming out of a forehead with no hat. And I don't understand why there's nobody on the field in Vegas in green or gold. It's white and red, and it's just so bad. So this is the kind of shot. You can see the Stomper statue right there on the right side. Some cool trees. And it just looks so realistic and so
carefully. And this is the third rendering release of 2021.
Yeah, that's true. There was February. There was the design review in September with a couple changes. And then there was, December 12th.
Well, this is coming out of the pandemic. So,
we all had so much time on our hands. I mean, our sourdough starter and our renderings that were together here.
Virtual game nights. Yeah. I think that then now we get into the comical side of the program. I mean, just so ridiculous. I mean, we all know that these were built. These were generated to get money from the legislature. That's all it was. They had to show them something.
They used Oakland's field, for crying out loud, in one of those pictures.
Yeah, the foul territory, 100%. There's no resort here. It covers the entire 35-acre site. They said it would be a retractable roof, which we were all like, wait, what? How's that going to work? And I don't even know what structure they were trying to propose with that arc thing. Which I don't think the airport would allow that, not to mention the current fictitious rendering that came out today. I don't know if the airport would allow that either, because next to the runway.
That's the thing with the renderings, is that you kind of need to put them into scale, and nothing they've done in Vegas. It's like that little arch there is bigger than the MGM. there's no way, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. So this
I'm
is,
done
I know it's, there's just so many issues with this thing. I don't know what there's more questions than there are answers. And that's been the case the entire time, this whole process. It's been more questions than answers. And we're way late in the game to be at this point, to the fact that we were like, okay, well, there's no renderings, there's no financing plan. Okay. Now we have renderings, I guess. But I mean, as we all know, renderings are, from the history of the A's, we know that renderings don't mean anything. They're pictures. They're pretty pictures to get an idea across. That's it. And so, sure, we can say there's no renderings and make it a big deal. But now that we have them, or have whatever these things are, obviously the much more substantial problem here for Fisher is, as you mentioned, Melissa, the financing seems to be a major problem. And I'd like them to stay in Oakland. As you said, Tony, Howard Terminal is probably dead. It doesn't look good for Las Vegas either. And with other cities, Salt Lake City is moving fast, and they're getting all their ducks in a row real quick. They have $900 million for baseball, $900 million for hockey. I mean, that's just crazy. They could actually swoop in, and the A's could just go there, which would be unfortunate. It's interesting how this stuff is going to play out. I have no idea.
As I'm looking at this, even though I've looked at this 15 times today, I'm looking at this. I'm wondering if they're counting that whole green pennant roof, whatever you call it, if they're counting that whole thing as the scoreboard. Like, that's one big video board that goes across the whole field.
Because you can't have a green ceiling.
Yeah. I mean, it could be light, you know, or whatever, or paint, or totally made up piece of fiction. But
you can't, though. Like, I mean, Tampa, I don't remember all the specifics, but, you know, Tampa had tried to do something to change what their roofing situation was going to be like, and the league wouldn't allow them to color it however they wanted to color it. Like,
oh, really?
You know, and I just, in general, like, you're going to put a scoreboard. I mean, people are going to hit it, right? Like, you know, like, I mean, that's a pop-up. You know, a home run in a silo is going to take a hole out of your very expensive video screen pretty quickly. This is a vertical sport, right? Like, this is not something that gets played on the ground like football does. And this is being designed as if players are just going to be running forward and throwing something maybe 8 feet off the ground. And you're talking about launch angles that are going to go, you know, I mean, it's going to become like a challenge. Like, how can I put a hole in the middle my
story?
Totally. Right. Like, it's kind of, and like, I mean, again, like, I don't know. I haven't been to the Sphere. I don't know what, but like, I'm trying to imagine sitting in the seat and trying to see what that scoreboard even looks like.
This scoreboard is 18,000 square feet and it is unusable by probably a third of that stadium in that picture.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just stupid. And for scale, the whole 9 acres is 22 scoreboards. So like, that's a big, a big monitor.
I think it's funny how many green flags they think fans are going to bring into the lower concourse or the lower bowl. It's just a lot. I mean, it's basically the current right and left field bleachers, except on the, in the foul territory section. Speaking of scoreboards, I feel like every season the A's have redesigned their scoreboards, which are huge. I mean, I remember when they unveiled those and they kind of did a cute, like, they made it look like the way they used to when they first unveiled them. So it looked like it had the black and gold light bulbs on one section and kind of the small little scoreboard over here and just the static stuff in the middle. And then they did this whole unveiling where it's the whole board, and it was pretty cool. But every year they keep moving things around and showing different ways to show ball strikes and outs and runs and everything. And it's kind of hard to think, oh, so what am I looking at? I can't imagine how massive this thing would be. I don't really think it would be, like, there's a certain size that gets to be too big for something. I don't think you need a scoreboard this big. And so maybe the decisions they made to present this are just so off the wall. And
but this is what Cavill does. Everything Cavill touches, he tries to make. San Jose's got the world's biggest outdoor bar or whatever it is. And Howard Terminal was going to have some record-breaking, I forget what the thing was. He needs to put, his little touch is to put something that he can say, we did the world's biggest blank in this stadium. So this will be sports' biggest screen, you know, or the biggest window. But really, it's just the biggest waste of money, because most of that stuff is not going to be practical for most of the people in that crowd.
But don't you think that
world's most renderings, like Guinness Book of World Records, world's most renderings?
They might have, because this next slide, this is all the renderings that Carl sent me.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
In 60 plus years.
Hang it in the Louvre.
I mean, yeah, totally. They should do forget the MoMA museum in the stadium. Just do a renderings museum.
Yeah, and most of these are from within the last 20 years. There's no organization that should have this many renderings in their museum and still not have built anything.
Yeah. Like, so people thinking, oh, well, you know, now that they've released these, it's as good as a shovel in the ground or whatever. I mean, and I'm not saying I've seen that directly today, but I've seen a number of other, oh, well, this, you know, the Bally CEO said this and this guy said that. And just mostly those are the Vegas trolls that are just kind of hoping that this is going to happen for whatever reason, or just hoping it doesn't work out for Oakland. Because there's a lot more hatred for Oakland than there is support for the A's to be in Las Vegas. And that's just Twitter. But
Well, the other thing that's funny about this, if you talk about lack of excitement, the fact that they didn't have a ceremony for this and that every ceremony they've planned has been canceled, but they hemorrhaged like 10,000 people on their following count when SB1 passed. 10,000 people just disappeared from A's Twitter followers. and they have not recouped those. So you are building you're bringing a new team to a town. You should be getting tens of thousands of new followers. Everybody in Vegas that's excited about having the A's there should be following you. Now, unless they already were following you, okay, maybe. But I doubt that, and because it's never been A's territory down there. But the fact that the only increase they've had has been largely bots. Somebody put out a thing recently where they just showed all these bots that have suddenly started following the A's. But that should be a sign too. Your social media is turned off. You're gaining zero new followers from the area you're trying to move to. You're canceling events or not hosting or not even scheduling them in the first place. There's no excitement in Las Vegas on a wide scale level. You know, they couldn't organize a fans fest half the size as the one that was organized in Oakland. And Oakland is pissed off at the team and they still got that many people there. You know, so it's so short-sighted. And I think this is so bad for baseball and everything.
Yeah, I think we're all kind of wondering how much leash do the other owners and the Players Association give John Fisher for just destroying an entire franchise?
I mean, I'm surprised the Players Association hasn't stepped in. The owners have already given more leeway than I thought they ever would. But the second the Dodgers voted yes on this, because they actually have, I think, the most to lose from the A's moving to Vegas. The second they voted yes on this, the owners are completely useless.
They want their gun.
Yeah.
No, I mean, legitimately, like, and I'm making a joke, but they're making a very similar move, and they're not going to move out of Dodger Stadium, obviously, but what they want to do surrounding Dodger Stadium is not different from, Lou Wolf has been involved with their organization as well, of course, is not that different from a number of the proposals that you just saw for the Coliseum site. So, you know, they absolutely had reason to want the A's to be able to say, baseball requires public funding in order for us to build. And I think that's basically the reason that they could be so embarrassing, but ultimately they have public money that is promised to them. And so therefore they need to push forward with this because they've got four other teams that are going to require public funding according to their ownership. And that's it. And so I think that's kind of, you know, that's the end game here. The whole thing with expansion's not going to happen as long as the Chicago White Sox need to use Nashville as the cudgel to get them there. Arizona's going to use Salt Lake City or in Portland. And, you know, so like this idea that they could even promise that Oakland would get an expansion team, I think is really a pie in the sky because like, it's not going to expand because you continually need to have that threat in order for any of these things to come through.
So if the city of Oakland, holds on to their demand that they need a promise for expansion, which I agree with you, I don't think that's going to happen. But if they say, well, we're not going to give you a lease extension, where do the A's play? I mean, what are your guesses?
I don't know. And I think, you know, unfortunately, as much as we want to say they have no leverage, they do have half of that complex's leverage. And so, you know, the county giving that land away when there's stuff the city really wants to do with it now is problematic, right? Like, you know, they need to get Fisher out of the Coliseum business if they want to move forward. And, you know, that ultimately may be the thing that they have as leverage in those negotiations. You know, we'll have to wait and see, you know, what comes of all of that. But there is no plan. I mean, there's absolutely zero plan. There's no good place for them to play. I saw something today where they were talking about, 60 games at Oracle and 10 in Sacramento, and 10 in, I don't know where the other third place was supposed to be. How are they going to move into Oracle? Like, are they going to kick the Giants out of their, they're going to say to, you know, Logan Webb, Luis Medina needs your locker while you're out of town. Like, that doesn't, like, you know, there's not a third locker room there that they can like show up in. And also Oracle has events when the Giants aren't there. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, and the Warriors play down there. It's already a traffic mess. They try to stagger that stuff as much as possible. That never made any sense to me at all. That there is still floating that out there is even a slight possibility. It tells you that there's no real plan.
Yeah. Yeah. And on that note, it's late. We've talked for a while. Thank you both for coming on. I hope you'll come on again sometime.
Thanks.
Hopefully with better news, but thank you.
Thanks for having me, Tony.
And Carl, have a great
pleasure talking to you both.
Yeah.
Thanks.
I guess.